The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In the Parsha, is mentioned a number of times the subject of Simcha, of rejoicing. For example, in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, we have in the midst of Bikurim, of the first fruits, V'somachta b'chol ha'teva asher nosan l'cho Hashem alakecha l'veisecho, and you shall rejoice in all of the goodness which Hashem has given to you and to your household. Atov ha'alevi v'ager asher b'kevecho, you and the Levi and the stranger which is amongst you. Then we have in the next subject that's dealt with, Perichov Vav Posuk Yud Dalet, actually the first one was Perek Chof Aleph, excuse me, Chof Vav Posuk Yud Aleph, the second one is Perek Chof Vav Posuk Yud Dalet, Lo Achalti Be'eini Mimeni, that when one gives his maestros, the maestros were the 10% of his crops which he would give to the Levi, and then the second 10% he would take up to Yerushalayim to eat, and on every third year of the Shemitah he would give it to the poor. It states, Lo achalti be'eini mimenu, I have not eaten from this. The aninus is when one is very, very broken because of the death of an immediate member of the immediate family on the day of the death. And the Gemara learns out from here that we see that Maaser has to be eaten b'simcha, where one can rejoice, not one where one is mourning. And then we have further, Perechov Ches, Posuk Mem Zayin. This is in the middle of the Teichochais. The rebukes. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rebuking Klal Yisrael. What will happen to them if they do not keep the Torah and the mitzvahs? So there it states, Tachas Asher Lavadto Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Levov. Meirev Kol. That a prime reason of the Golus of being sent into exile with all of the tzoras of the exile is because you did not serve Hashem with simcha and with goodness of heart when you had so much. So the Chazal bring out here that the complaint against them was not that they did not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They did, but they did not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with simcha, with rejoicing of heart and goodness of heart. Well, they had so much. So we see, and there are many, many such Makeda sources in the Torah, that Simcha is a great milo, that one should be rejoicing. This is a great attribute. And on this we can ask a number of questions. Firstly, why do we find that it's such a mitzvah to be b'simcha? Secondly, this would seem to be contrary to yira, to seriousness, and to fear Hashem. Say a person has to be a Yir Shemayim, he has to fear Hashem. He has to guard his life very closely and be a medaktik b'mitzvahs, zehirus, where he's very, very cautious and careful and all of the time scrupulous to see that he fulfills all of the mitzvahs with all of their exactness. Chorad al Dvar Hashem, says a person should be a Chorad al Dvar Hashem. The word chorad, that's where we get the word charedi from. Chorad means where one should look at the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu almost with a terror in order to be so careful to fulfill all of his words. And perhaps he should be a mafachid. He should be someone that is constantly calculating all of his steps in this world where he has a fear from the great punishment in case he does not fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem. So it would seem that if a person is going to go around with simcha all of the time with a great rejoicing and celebration, this is contrary to that. Third question. Actually, we should say that a person should be memayit, minimize simcha in this world. This world. Especially, we find that one is required to be misavil, to mourn for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and for the golus, for the exile that we're in. And we have all types of symbols which we do in order to constantly remind us of the Churban and of the golus. Fourthly, and this is a question on the reality, how is it possible for a person to be misameach, to be joyous in this world, after we see such enormous tzoras, so many problems? Look, we are a generation that lived, or at least parents and grandparents lived through the Holocaust. And we see all of the tzoras in Eretz Yisrael, 50 years of wars. And we see the tzoras, we saw the tzoras that the Jews went through in Russia. And in general, all of the tzoras of the world. And the great Chilul Hashem, desecration of Hashem's name in the world. And the Bizei Kveit Shamayim, how the honor of heaven is trampled upon, where the world is made up of idolaters, or evolutionists, or whatnot. And the constant, never stopping, never ending wars. And in particular in South Africa, we have our own source with everything going on. And these are realistic sources. So how can one be besimcha? Let's see if we can give some explanation to these questions this evening. Firstly, we are speaking here of what the sages refer to as simcha, and not to what they refer to as kalis reish or holiness. Simcha halev, that means the rejoicing of the heart, celebration, contentment. Not a lot of empty noise or entertainment or folly or lightheadedness. The Rambam brings in Perek Vov, Halacha Chof, of Hilchos Shamtiv, he says as follows, Kisho Odom Eichel V'Sheisa V'Sameach B'Regel. When a person sits and drinks and rejoices on the Yamtiv, which is a mitzvah's essay, a particular positive commandment, and every yantif and on cholamayit also. Lo yimoshech b'yayin u'b'shek b'kalis reish. He shouldn't be drawn into too much wine or folly or laughter or lightheadedness. V'yemesh yakol mi sheyesh b'zeh yarbe b'mitzvah simcha. And he should not say that the more you do of this, the more you fulfill the mitzvah of simcha. Shahashikras vahaschaik harbe vakalasareish ena simcha. Because drunkenness and great folly and laughter and lightheadedness, this is not simcha. Ela hailelis vesiklas. This is what one would call folly, lightheadedness or foolishness. And this is not what we were commanded on. We were commanded on the simcha, the rejoicing, in which through this you can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it states. And then he brings the pasuk from Har Sedra, Tachas Asher Le'avadato As Hashem Elokecha B'simcha V'tuv Lev Merev Kol. You do not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the rejoicing of the heart and with the goodness of your heart. From here we learn shahavodah b'simcha, that when you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his Torah and mitzvahs There you have to, that has to be together with simcha. And one cannot serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with folly and lightheadedness and just empty laughter or drunkenness. The Rambam brings similarly, he brings the second place at the end of Hilchas Lulav. Right at the end of Hilchas Lulav, there he's speaking of the great simcha that took place during Sukkot. And on Sukkot, there was a greater simcha that took place than on the other Yom Tovim. And this in the Beis HaMikdash, and this was called the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Every night, they would go into the Beis HaMikdash, and they would light torches that would light up the whole city of Yerushalayim. And there would be music and dancing and a great simcha. So the Rambam brings mitzvah laharbeis b'simchasu. It's a great mitzvah to partake in this simcha. Now, what kind of simcha was it? This was not the type of simcha that you would let all of the ignoramuses or anybody that wanted partake from, because that becomes an empty simcha. Elegdele chachme Yisrael. The wise, the greatest of the wise of Israel, the Roshei HaYeshivas, the heads of the yeshivas and the Hasanhedrin, the heads of the courts, the Hasidim and the righteous, the Hazakenim, the Anshei Maisa, and the elders and the people of great deeds, Heim Shohoyim Maraktim, they would be the ones that would dance, Umesapkim, Umenagdim, Umesamchim, they would dance and clap and sing and play the instruments, B'migdosh and the Beis HaMikdash B'mei Chag HaSukkos. Avo kol ha'om ha'anoshim v'anoshim kulan boim lireis v'lishmaya. The rest of the nation would come to see and to hear. This way it would be a simcha that was full of great deeds and wisdom of Torah. Ha'simcha shi'ismach samach ho'odim ba'asiyas ha'mitzvah ba'avos ha'keil shetzivu behem. The simcha that a person is obligated to have when he fulfills the mitzvahs of Hashem, avodah gdolehi, this is a great serving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol amenei atzman b'simcha zu, and whoever refrains from the simcha, roi liforim imenu, he will have to pay for it in the next world, as it states. And again, he quotes our posuk, tachas eshe lo avaritos Hashem alakecha b'simcha v'tuv leivov, because the criticism on Klal Yisrael was not that you did not serve me, but you did not serve me with a great rejoicing. And whoever says, look, this is not for me, I'm above it all, chayta v'shayta, he's a sinner and a fool. And whoever involves himself in it, he is the one to be honored. And this is what David HaMelech did when they were bringing the Oren into the Mishkan. They were bringing the Mishkan to Yerushalayim. David danced with all of his strength, and he was criticized by his wife Michal. She said, how can it be, you're the king of Israel, are you dancing ke'echor min arekim, like the empty ones? And he says, this is not an empty dance. And he says, v'niklesi od mizeis v'yisi shval be'enai, he says that I'll even do more of this and make myself humble in my eyes in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with great simcha. So we are not speaking about emptiness. We're not speaking about nonsensical entertainments or lightheadedness or folly. But we are speaking about the contentment and the celebration of the heart and the rejoicing of the heart when one serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this that we asked, but it would seem that a person should be all the time chorad al dvar Hashem. He should be all the time nervous and afraid that maybe what he's doing is not 100%. Maybe what he's eating is not 100% the way it should be. And maybe the mitzvah he's not doing is 100% not what it should be. And he this must be the attitude in this world, and that's contrary to Simcha. And then the Gemara says just the opposite. The Gemara says in Masechet Brachos and Daf Samech, Ahu Talmido Davko Ozel Basreider Bishmul Berbiesi Bishuka de Tzion. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yosi was walking in the marketplace of Tzion, and he saw that there was a certain Talmud, there was a certain disciple that was following him. Chaz yutako mafchid. He saw that he was very, very nervous. He was under pressure, under strain. Omalei. So he turned to him and he said, Chato at. You are a sinner. Because it states, Pachte b'tzion chatoim. Because it states, Pachte b'tzion, those who are constantly afraid and always nervous and always worrying, that's a sign that he's a sinner. Omalei, so he said though to the Rebbe, but doesn't it not say in Mishle, Shlema Melech wrote, Ashrei Odom Mefachei Tomid, how fortunate it is for the person to be Mefachei Tomid, to always be afraid and worrying in this world? Omalei, he said, Ahu b'divrei Teira k'siv. That's only when it comes to divrei Teira, but not in anything else. Why in divrei Teira? So Rashi writes, we just find it here, Shema tishtakach mimenu shemitekachu machzeh lishnei somtomit. A person should constantly be afraid that he'll forget his learning, and therefore he has to go over it again and again and learn it again. Well, he'll learn it 10 times and 20 times and 100 times. That's what a person should constantly be worrying. But otherwise, he's not allowed to. And if he constantly finds himself where he's the worrying type, that's a sign he's a sinner. It's a sign of hate. You see, from Rashi, even when one is allowed to constantly worry about his learning, that's only to bring a positive result. Kedei lishnei somtomid, that he should worry about his learning in order that he will constantly go over and over and over again. Then the Gemara brings another case. Yehuda bar Noson have a shokel v'ozel basrei de Rabban Unna. Yehuda bar Noson, he was following Rabban Unna. Esnach. And he gave out a pang of anguish, a great sigh. Oi. So Rav Amnuna turned around to him and he said, Yesurim boya hu gavra lasuya nafshe. You are going to bring tzores upon yourself. Diksiv, because it states in Iov, ki pachat pochadati, Baye Asoyeni, I was afraid and fearful and trembled, and this brought on me tzoris, something to be afraid of. Ba'asher yogoti yovoli, and what I constantly feared brought it upon me. This is what Eo said. Eo says, you want tzoris, then worry about it, and you'll bring it upon yourself. So he turned to him and he said that you are going to bring tzoris upon yourself. So he said, but doesn't not say Ashrei Odom Mefachei Tomid, that in this world a person should constantly be afraid? He said, Ahu b'divrei Teira k'siv. That's only when it comes to one's learning. He constantly has to be worried that he's going to forget what he's learning, because Torah is so difficult and so far above him, and therefore he must keep reviewing it, but otherwise not. So we see to the contrary. It is that we say that a person should be If we say Chorar al Dvar Hashem, means he should constantly be in terror and be worried that he's not doing what he's supposed to do in this world. That's a sign of a sinner. Not only that, it'll bring Tzoros upon him. Why will it bring Tzoros? Because if a person cleaves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the best protection from Tzoros. This is what David HaMelech said in the Dovr HaShem Ari, Kavei al Hashem, Chazak v'yamotz, v'kavei al Hashem. He says, constantly put your hope and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that'll strengthen you, that'll lift you above the Tzoros. If a person places his trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has nothing to worry about. If he's constantly worrying all of the time, that shows that his trust is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was by Hillel all the time, he said. And the Rekiva, they said, Hillel used to hear a scream or something like that. He says, Batuach, it's not from my home. Because he was constantly dova, cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at any rate, so we see this is also not a question. It's like a person is not supposed to be lightheaded. He's not supposed to be just full of jokes and letzonis, empty things. He is supposed to have simchas alev, rejoicing of the heart, be internally happy. At the same time, a person is not allowed to be a mafachid. He's not allowed to go every day where he is constantly afraid or in terror or worrying. Now, we said, but this seems to be contrary to the level of Yiras Shamayim. States that a person should fear heaven. If you fear heaven and you fear the judgment and you fear the punishment of heaven, so how can you at one end be full of simcha and at the other end fear Hashem? Enoch Adami. It's contrary. It's conflicting. But the Gemara says that simcha is a higher level than Yiras Shamayim. Contrary to popular opinion. The Gemara brings in Brachas, Godol Anenu Miyegiyas Kapayim Miyiras Shamayim. Greater is the one who enjoys the work of his hands than he who fears heaven. Because by the one who fears heaven, it states he will have the world to come. But the one who enjoys the work of his hands, it states on him, Ashrecha v'tovloch, Ashrecha be'olam hazeh, you will have this world, v'tovloch, and it will be good for you in the next world too, you will have both worlds. What's it speaking about? The Maral says, who is the one that enjoys the work of his hands? That's the one who's constantly thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that he gave him. He sits down and he takes a piece of bread, thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has enjoyment from what he has. He has a glass of wine. He thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has enjoyment from what he has. The one who enjoys what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. What is that level? That's the level of Avas Hashem. He loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chazal clearly states in many places, Avas Hashem, the level of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is greater than the level of Yiras Hashem, to fear Hashem. One of the reasons that the Chazal give why it's greater is because it says someone who fears, when you do something because you fear, if it becomes too difficult, you walk away from it. But if you do something because of Ava, because of love, you don't walk away from it. So what is this referring to? It says the one who fears Hashem, he will have the next world, but he won't have this world. How can he have this world? He constantly goes through this world with fear. But the one who's nana from Yigiyas Kapai, who enjoys what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him in this world, he has both worlds. He'll have this world and the next world. So, yes, it is contrary to that, but it's a greater level. Now, this that we mentioned, that Simcha is, this level of Simcha is so great. We will see now that this is not just an individual attribute, or this is just a good midah. He has a good midah, a good quality, or a good nature where he's always happy. From Chazal we're going to see that Simcha is Shlemus. Simcha is perfection, totality, when there is nothing lacking. And this is the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu there's nothing lacking. He has everything. And this is his essence. And if this is his essence, then this is the essence of his Shechina and of everything that has to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His Shechina, his Torah, his mitzvahs, his Beis HaMikdash. And then it will come out that any qualities which are contrary to this, for example, sadness or depression or daiga, the ogre, which is worry, anxiety, kas, anger, not only is the person lack the simcha, like you might think, but this is mevatel, this destroys all of the other levels. This destroys the Shechina. This destroys Torah. This destroys mitzvahs. This destroys the level of the Beis HaMikdash. Now how do we know to say that? The Gemara brings in Masechta Pesachim and Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. First the Gemara says, Tana Rabbonon Kol Shireis. It's speaking about the Shireis V'Sish Bochesh Omer David B'Seva Tilem. All of the great songs and praises that David HaMelech wrote in the Sefer Tehillim. We have no one, there is no one that could praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with song and with prose and poetry like David HaMelech. So the Gemara says, sometimes we see that it states Mizmor LeDavid, a song to David. And sometimes it says LeDavid Mizmor, to David a song. Why? So the Gemara says, when it says LeDavid Mizmor, to David there was a song, Melamed Sheshosol of Shechina V'Achakach Omar Shira, then it was David before, and because it was David he sang a song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means that David had rose to the level of the Shechina, of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ruach HaKodesh, first, and because of this, he sang a song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we see it states, Mizmor LeDavid, a song to David, that means that David was not on the level of Ruach HaKodesh, of Shira, of Ruach HaKodesh or Shechina, when he started, when he wanted to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So first he had to sing a song. He had to play music in order to make himself rejoice. Then he came to the level of David. And then he was capable of writing a chapter in Tehillim. If it states Mizmor LeDavid, Melamed Shom Ashira, first he sang a song, V'ahakach Shosa Olav Shechina, and then the Shechina and the Ruach HaKodesh dwelt upon him. Lamdecho, what does this teach us? Shein HaShechina Shoreh, this teaches us that there is no Shechina, there is no holy presence, there is no Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is the inspiration that one is imbued with from heaven. There is no inspiration from heaven. There is no Shechina. Let me take Atzus, but let me take Atzus. If a person is depressed, if he's sad, or if he's very, very sluggish and tired, or let me take Shchaik, or if he's empty, it's empty folly, we take Kalis Reish, or emptiness. El mitayik dvar simcha shel mitzvah. When is the Shekhinah? When is the Ruach HaKodesh? Only when he is rejoicing from the rejoicing of a mitzvah. Then he can be inspired by HaKodesh Baruch Hu. He can come to Shekhinah. As it states, Ba'ato kechuli menagin v'ohir kenagin ha-menagin v'ati alav yad Hashem. This was the Novi. The Novi said that Elisha, by Yoshafet, he became angry, and he couldn't prophesy. So he called in a managin, he called in a musician, and he said, "Play for me a song, in order that I can relax, and in order that I can be happy." And once he started to rejoice, then Vatiya Lov Yad Hashem, then the Shekhinah came back to him. And then the Gemara says, "Vamar of Gidl." And so is it with Torah. If a person wants to understand Torah, he can't understand Torah if he's not rejoicing. So first he has to, if he's in a bad mood, he won't understand the Torah. So first he has to make himself in a good mood, Tov life. He has to make himself besimcha, then he will understand Torah. Then the Gemara brings that also for a chalom tov. If a person wants to have a good night's sleep and he wants to have good dreams, he should go to bed mitake simcha. If he goes to bed mitake tzoras and anger and worry, now he won't have good dreams. And then the Gemara says, he says, Rabba, when he used to say the shiur, before he would give the shiur at the beginning, he would say something of humor, and everyone would laugh, and then he would start saying the shiur. Once he started to say the shiur, then you have to sit with great seriousness, because it's as if you're receiving the words from Sinai. But in the beginning, he would say that in order to put the people in a good mood, in tev levov, in goodness of heart. Now, what do we see from here? We see from here there can be no Shekhinah if a person is not besimcha. There can be no Ruach HaKodesh. There can be no Nevuah. There can be no Torah. And this is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the essence of Simcha, of totality and perfection, where there's no tzoras. There's no tzoras by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no limitations by Him. There's only unending expansion. And therefore everything that belongs to Him is like that. Now, in the Mishnah Novus, the Mishnah Novus tells us in the last parak that of the 48 attributes that one needs in order to come to the greatness of Torah, one is Simcha, as we see it by Torah. Again in the Mishnah, in that parak, it states, Remeir Eimer Kol Eisik B'Teira Lishma. Remeir says, whoever studies Torah for the sake of Torah itself, Zeich L'Dvarim Harbe, he comes to many, many things. Eves HaMokum, the Avas Abrias, he'll come to the loving of people, the loving of Hashem and the loving of Prius. Mesameach es Amokim, Mesameach es Abrias. He brings rejoicing to Hashem and rejoicing to the people, because he becomes part of Torah. And Torah is the essence of Simcha. So it has to bring Simcha to Hashem and Simcha to the people. And then the Gemara brings in Ma'ir Cotton, Gemara says, Shlomim, the most perfect of all of the sacrifices was the Korban Shlomim. Why? It was the most balanced, because some of the sacrifices were only allowed to be burnt on the altar, Korban Ola, and others, sometimes it was part was burnt on the altar and part was given to the Kohanim. But it was only the Shlomim which had the perfect balance. It was burnt on the altar, part was given to the Kohanim, and the other part were given to the Bailim, to Israel. And therefore it was called Shlomim, because it was Sholem, totality. And it was called the peace offering. It included everyone. The Gemara brings that what happens if the owner of the animal was an Onan, that he lost a relative, immediate family, on that day he wasn't allowed to eat from it, because it says Bisman Shu Sholem, when he was in totality, not when he's broken. And from here we learn that the sacrifices in the Beis Hamikdash had to be Besimcha. The Gemara in Erechin brings on Daf Yud Aleph that when the sacrifices were brought, there had to be shira, there had to be song. The song was from the Levim. So the Gemara says, how do you know this? Minayin le'iko shir min haTorah. So the Gemara brings from our Pasuk. Tachas asher lo avadeta Hashem elokecha b'simcha b'tuv levav. Because you did not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with simcha, we see avoda, service in the Beis HaMikdash, had to be with simcha. According to one opinion in the Gemara there, that if there was no shira, if the Levim didn't sing, it would disqualify, invalidate the korbanos, the sacrifices. And the Mishnah in the second Perek in Zvachim tells us that if a Kohen is an Onan, the Kohen that is bringing the sacrifices to the altar, if he's an Onan, if that day he lost a member of his immediate family, he's disqualified from the avoda, can't do it. And if he does it, he will disqualify the korban, the sacrifice. So what do we see from all here? The Beis HaMikdash required simcha. And then the Gemara brings him Sochim that Samach Vov on the Beis. It states Omer Esh Lakish Kol Odom Shekais. If a person becomes angry, in other words, he's irritated, he's upset, he's not relaxed, and he's besimcha, becomes angry. Im chacham hu chachmase mishtalekes mimenu. If he's a chacham, then he loses wisdom at that moment. And we see nobody's exempt from this, because how do we know this? The Gemara says mimesha, we learn it from Moshe. Vayikzev meshal pikudei achayil. Moshe became angry at the people because he sent him to war, the army. Hechiyisem kol nekeva, and they let live all of the females. So he became angry, and then later it states when it came to instruct the people, the lozer, the kohen had to instruct. Moshe couldn't instruct them because he had forgotten the halachos. Mora brings three places in the Torah Moshe became angry, and each time he forgot some divrei Torah. Then it states, Im Novihu, if he's a prophet, Nevuasim istalekes mimeno, he will lose his prophecy momentarily. And that's what it brings from Elisha. Elisha saw a wicked man, and he became very angry. And then he couldn't prophesy. So he had to call in the menagin, he had to call in a musician to play some music and calm him down. And so he would be rejoicing again, and then the Ruach HaKodesh, the inspiration from heaven, came back to him. And then the Gemara brings further. It states, Omer Avmoni Bar Patish called Shukais Afilapeskin Olav Gdula Min HaShomayim Meirin Nesai. Not only does it do that, but even if he was set aside, earmarked, to become a great leader in Klal Yisrael, a king, this is contrary to it. How do we know? From Eliyahu. Eliyahu was the brother of David HaMelech, and it states that when David HaMelech, he was a young boy, and they were having the war with Goliath and the Plishtim, Goliath, and David HaMelech heard Goliath curse Klal Yisrael and Hashem. And he came down to see what was happening. And his brother saw him. Eliyahu was the oldest brother, and he saw him. And he said, he became angry. Vayichar af Eliyahu. He became angry. And he says, Lama ze yoradeto? Why did you come down? Valminos tashto me'at hatzon, ha'ena bamidbor. Who's watching the sheep? Ani yodati es deincho, v'esrael evavecho, ki lemanreis ha'milchoma yoradeto. He says, I know your nature. You came because you want to see warfare. You came because you want to see fighting. What are you doing here? And he became very angry at him. So then it states that when Shmuel was sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to crown one of the sons of Yishai to become the king of Israel, so Shmuel, in each one it states, each one Shmuel chose, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lebozeh Bochar Hashem, I have not chosen this one. But by Eliyahu, there, Eliyahu, there it states, when he chose him, Vayema Hashem el Shmuel al tabit el marehu vel gavei kemosei. He was very handsome and very tall, and Shmuel said, that's the one. He says, no. He says, don't look at his looks and don't look at his height. Ki me'astiho, because I have despised him from being king. So the Gemara says, Michlal, if you have despised him from being king, this would indicate that before you had chosen him, he was to be chosen. Kodesh Baruch Hu had selected him. But because he became so angry, he lost it. So what do we see? We see that depression, sadness, worry, to be upset, to be angry, this is all contrary to Shekhinah. Not this is just a midah tova, it's a good quality. You say someone has a good nature, he has a good quality. This is mevatel, this destroys Shekhinah, Ruach HaKodesh. It destroys prophecy, it destroys the Torah. It destroys the Avodas HaBeis HaMikdash. And the reason is because these qualities do not exist by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally sholem, totally perfect. And there is only simcha by him. And therefore everything that's by him has simcha. So the Torah is the essence of simcha. And the Ruach HaKodesh is simcha. And the Shekhinah and the Beis HaMikdash. And the Nevuah. Even the Gdula, to be a leader. So if a person wants to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to be able to make himself similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, when David was David, he was Mizmor, he was able to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if he wasn't David, if he wasn't on that level, then first he had to sing and become David, and then he was able to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we said, all right, we've explained what is simcha, the level of simcha, the great level of it, and how it's so greater than all of the other levels. But now we said, but unfortunately, there are many, many things in the world which cause anguish. It causes depression and aggravation and whatnot. What do we do about all of that? Now this is divided into three areas. The first area is, there's much to elaborate, but this evening we won't be able to elaborate because of the time. The first area is that the truth of the matter is there are many things in a person's life which we feel is worthy of getting upset over, of worthy of being down about, being sad about, but which is only misplaced values. It's our imagination, misplaced and misguided values. And this, the Torah tells us in many places, because we get upset over things. and we become angry over things, or we become depressed over things, when we feel that there's something that should be that isn't, how do we know it should be? Now, the sages elaborate. There's kavad amaduma. Person pursues honor and glory. And if he doesn't get, if it's not going his way, or if he sees that he's not getting it, it can cause him to be very down, very depressed. How do we know to place so much value on that? A person pursues material wealth. And if he doesn't get the material wealth, then he becomes very down. He pursues success. And if he doesn't get the success that he feels is success, he becomes broken. How do we know that these are real values? And this is what is choshev, this is what is important in this world. Many times these are merely misguided pursuits and misguided loss of values. And in the real world, they are not so important. And therefore, if we don't have them, it's nothing to be upset over. Perhaps there are more important things in the world. Like the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us, HaKovid, HaKinah V'HaTayvah V'HaKovid. Jealousy and pursuit of honor and worldly desires, they can drive a person out of this world. People get upset because they never reach the ambition of having the type of car that they wanted, or having the type of home that they wanted, or having the type of position that they wanted. Now, here we are establishing that this is what's so important in the world, and now we make ourselves broken because we have not attained them. Maybe this is not what's to be so important in the world to begin with. So, the first area is that there are a lot of so-called sorus in the world, which we create as sorus, and not necessarily our sorus. There's a second area, which it's a realistic sorus. Everybody is confronted with realistic pains and realistic problems, realistic afflictions. But again, many of these we bring on upon ourselves. They didn't come upon ourselves. We brought them on upon ourselves. For example, we mentioned Kina Vatayva Vakovit. The person is driven by greed, he's driven by desires, he's driven by lust for honor. Many times it's not just a question of not reaching what we wanted to reach, but we get ourselves in great trouble sometimes when we do reach them. Overambition can bring great trouble to a person. Greed can bring a great trouble to a person. The Chazal tell us, Marbedaiga, Marbenachosi, Marbedaiga. The more you own, the more there's to worry about. So we let our ambition drive us until we own so much. And the Chazal tell us, Da'oga Shever Hatzi Aguf. Worry can break half of the human being. So what did we achieve? We spent a life pursuing material wealth, and we got it, but meanwhile it broke us. Or other such things. Many times as realistic sorrows that comes upon us, but if we will analyze how it came upon us, for example, there might be realistic sorrows in the area of human relations, domestic problems, marital problems, family problems, human relations problems. But how did it come? Through Machlekes, through Lashon Hara, through Ketotes, through Faribel, and so on and so on. You see, many people, they place great emphasis where they're always insulted, where they're always upset, or so forth or so on. And then they have all kind of tzoras in human relations. Now, and then we're saying it's impossible to be happy in this world with it. One has so much tzoras. Well, who told you to have so much tzoras? This is tzoras we're bringing upon ourselves. There's many, a great deal of tzoras, and this I see all of the time. It comes from bad decision making. People make decisions, and they're bad decisions, and they can suffer endlessly afterwards. And then they say, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing so much sorrow on me? And the decision they made to begin with, many times they'll even come and ask a shaila, and you'll give them the eights of the Gemara, and they won't listen because they're not interested in that. They want to do what they want to do. They don't want to do what's right. They want to do what they want to do. And then they have to live with it. There's another great problem in this when it comes to rejoicing. Now we're talking that how can a person be besimcha in this world if he has realistic tzoras? And we're saying that there's an area where it's true it's a realistic tzoras, but why did it come up upon the person? He brought it upon himself. Now there's another area, and that is where a person refuses to take responsibility for his own actions, and he's always placing the responsibility or the consequences of his actions on someone else. There are people who will tell you, it's my father's fault, it's my mother's fault, I wasn't brought, they didn't love me the way they should, they didn't give me the attention the way they should, they shouted at me, they were too much of this or too much of that. And then there's those that will say it's my husband's fault, or it's my wife's fault, or it's my brother's fault, or it's my sister's fault, or it's my friend's fault, or it's circumstances, I was born poor, or I was born like that, or I wasn't born like this. Unfortunately, this is a very, very bad quality. This is a mida mushkeses, because this destroys a person. Because if a person, you'll have other people that they never blame anything on anyone else. If you don't blame things on other people, so firstly, you've got nothing to be angry and upset over. So you can go around being a happy human being. The only thing, then, some people blame too many things upon themselves. My Rebbe, he should be well. A gifted, tells the Rosh Yeshiva. He once told me, he says he's against even a person trying to find too much wrong with himself. He didn't like this business where people would self-analyze themselves, what's wrong with themselves. In other words, not only don't blame others, don't blame yourself either. He said, if you see something wrong with yourself, fix it. That's what you have to do. If there's something wrong with yourself, fix it. Work on fixing it. But don't start to search, to try to find sicknesses in yourself. Something wrong, fix it. And go further.
was a very positive person all the time. He believed always in positivity. Person's job in this world is to go further. If you constantly blame it on him and on him and this one and that one, it's the way I was brought up, my father, my mother, my grandfather, and all of the business, you're never going to go further. Because you always have a terrorist why you're not going further. And if you're constantly going to start blaming things all the time on yourself also, you're not going to go further either. But if you see something wrong in yourself, then you work on fixing it. Then your position is to progress. That's the job of a person in this world. To progress, to grow. Now many times you'll see that people make their whole lives miserable because they are always saying, I didn't have this chance, I didn't have that chance, like the other one had. If I would have had his money, I would have done like this, I could have been like this, if I would have had his intelligence, if I would have had his opportunity. And they make themselves miserable human beings, and not only do they make themselves miserable human beings, they teach their children the same meters. And I can tell you this because I'm in education. So again, these are tzoras that we're bringing upon ourselves. This further, we can elaborate here the whole evening. Let me mention one other area. There's the tzoras, a very realistic tzoras of sickness. You say, look, a person is sick. Now I heard a very famous American doctor once, he was speaking on the radio, I heard a tape. He was world renowned. What he said, and it struck me, he said that he is confident that well over 50% of all of the world's diseases, over 50% of all world's diseases could be prevented by people themselves, by living with proper health rules. Now, just to quote one or two Rambams. The Rambam brings how important is it for one to be healthy? Well, firstly, he can't be very happy if he's not healthy. But even more than that, the Rambam says you can't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you're not healthy. In Perek Gimel of Hilchos Deos Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes that when a person partakes from this world, he should do it with the intention to yosi malibay shiagufay sholem v'chosek. When he eats, he drinks, he works, and he sleeps, he should do it with the intention that his body and mind should be strong and healthy, kidei shiyanafshe yishoro, in order that his soul will be straight, ladasas Hashem, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's impossible, the Rambam said. And the Rambam is someone that could tell us this. It's impossible for a person to understand the Torah if he's malnutritioned, or if he's sick, or even if one of his limbs is aching. In other words, you got a sore foot. What's that got to do with Torah? The Rambam says it's impossible to understand the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in totality if you got a sore foot. That's going to hamper your understanding of Hashem. I almost try to impress on the Bochrim how important it is. They want to learn, they got to be strong. Here the Rambam says, how do you come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? By understanding his Torah. He says, it's impossible to understand his wisdom in totality. And if a person is hungry, or he's sick, or echod me'evarev ko'ev, or just even one of his limbs is sore. And then he says, even when one sleeps, he should sleep with the intention that the sleep is nourishing him and strengthening his body, that he will not become sick, and then he'll be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because how can someone serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu if he's sick? If one is sick, you have to serve. If Shemayim gives one a sickness, we can't complain, and we have to do our best. But you can't be a soldier of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in totality. And it comes out that sleeping is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he brings in Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph. He says, "Oil v'yeis haguf bori v'sholem midakei Hashem hu." Again, he repeats it. He says, "Since for one to be strong and healthy is the way to walk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Because it's impossible for him to understand in totality something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from his Torah, and he's sick. He says, therefore, a person has to distance himself from everything that is destructive to the health of the body. And he has to pursue everything which is healthy for the body. He says this, that a person has to pursue good health. This is what we would call Bechlal Derech Eretz. That there's mitzvahs and there's Derech Eretz. There's mitzvahs which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, and there's Derech Eretz which everyone has to do, even a non-Jew. But the Rambam saying this is not Derech Eretz. He says this is mitzvah Rabbah. This is the greatest mitzvah. Because if you don't, if you're not strong and healthy, he says you can't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he writes, just to give you one example, in Perek Dalet Halacha Tes Vov, he writes, "Kol mishu yeshiv levetach v'ein mishamel." Someone who lives a luxurious life and lounges around all of the time, and he does no physical labor. Those days they did physical labor. Today we have old ads in other places. Okay. Or misha mashin okovav, or misha mayav koshin, or someone who doesn't watch, take care of his digestive system. And afilo ochel macholes tevim, v'shomer atzmei al pi arefuah. Even if he eats good foods and he takes care of himself, kol yomav yemuchu avim v'keichet toshes, he will be full of pain and weak. But he says overeating to everyone is sam hamovis, is poison of death, and this is the main cause of all sicknesses. Reva haloim sheboim ala odem einam ela o mipnei macholim roim. The majority of sicknesses, the Rambam also was a doctor, the majority of sicknesses which comes upon a person is either from bad foods, or because he overeats, even if they're good foods. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech said, guard your mouth and your tongue, and you will guard yourself from tzores, from great tzores. Now what does it mean, mouth and tongue? Mouth from eating food. He doesn't say food, non-kosher food. He says mouth from eating ma'achol ra, from eating foods which are not good for the person. And tongue from speaking what one is not allowed to speak. So Shlomo HaMelech said, tzores, you have tzores. I'll tell you how not to have tzores. He says guard your mouth and your tongue. Guard your mouth from eating that what is not good for you, and your tongue from speaking that what is not good. Now, I believe what that doctor said. that 50% of all diseases in the world could be avoided through prevention of good living. We see what drugs do. We see what cigarettes do. So there are many realistic sources, but who we have complaints on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who brought on the source? I see many times when I grew up, the junk food wasn't so as available as it was today, as it is today, so it was a big treat. But today, I see in the finest Jewish homes, they bring up children, and they're actually brought up on junk food. The houses are full of Coca-Colas and chips and sweets and everything. And children are growing up on it. One should be as careful in that at least as much as he's careful in kashrus. At least. Really should be more. Because the Gemara brings Hakanta Chamiram Isura. When it comes to danger to a person's health, one has to be more careful than when it comes to something which is forbidden. But at least. And just like they would not allow in their homes anything that's not kosher, I can't understand why they allow in their homes and they let their children actually grow up, when especially that they're creating a foundation for themselves for the rest of their lives on this junk food. Or just sometimes they say, well, they go to other places and then we have no control. Well, would you send your children over to a house that doesn't keep kosher? Never. So why then? And if there's anything that a mother can do for a child, the greatest mitzvah is to give him a good foundation and health. Otherwise, how can he be Eved Hashem? How can he come to be Serva Kodesh Baruch Hu? Then we come to a third section. Now the third section is, however, there are actual tzoros in the world which we cannot say, which are realistic, and we cannot say that we bring them directly. There's so much in our control to avoid them. That's like we mentioned, I mean, many times there's great affliction, and we see there's the Churban Beis Hamikdash and the Golus and so forth and so on. And this is not so simple to avoid. There we see from the Chazal that we require to have a dual personality, like by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The Gemara brings in Masechta Chagiga Daf Hei. Gemara says that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from one aspect, he's kula simcha. He's full of simcha. As it states, Hod v'hoda lefonav, oz v'ched v'bim kemai. He's full of strength and beauty and simcha. But at the same time, he weeps. He weeps for the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. He weeps for the Golus. He weeps for all of the Tzoros and the Yisurim by Klal Yisrael. But both attributes are by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what a Jew has to be. From one aspect, we constantly are confronted with all of these Tzoros. But from the other aspect, we have to at the same time be full of simcha. The Rambam brings that a person must always give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he has given him, and always beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he further needs. So in one breath we have to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what he's given to us, and in another breath we have to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu to what we still need and to relieve us from those sorrows. And that's what the Chazal say, Kol HaNashama Tehalel Ko. As long as a person has a breath left, he must praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that breath. And everyone has enormous amount to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there's one breath, he has to praise Hashem. And the greatest praise that we have is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Asher Bocha Bono Mikolo Amim Venosan Bono Estorosei, that he chose us from all of the nations and he gave us his Torah. And then finally, the person has to realize that he walks on both worlds. He cannot look at this world. This world is referred to as the world of nighttime. The next world is referred to the world of daytime. He has to look at both worlds together, not at this world alone. There was delay, tells the Rosh Hashiva, Ramotl, Kertz, Ichreinu Lebroch. Remember, he was saying that someone asked him, when he came to America, he said, they told him, this world is a different world. Don't try to build the yeshiva here. So he said, this world. He says, you think what I'm doing is for this world? He lost his whole family in the Holocaust. He says, if what I was living for was this world alone, he says, it wouldn't be worth it. He says, what I'm doing is for both worlds. And the Gaon, before he died, he was weeping, and they asked him, why are you crying? He said, such a wonderful world. They said, what do you mean a wonderful world? There's so much source. He says, you can take a coin and buy a pair of tzitzis and have a mitzvah. And with that mitzvah, you can inherit endless next world. He was saying it's such a wonderful world because of the opportunity that everyone has in this world as long as he has a breath of life left in him. I recall that the first time I walked into the Beis HaMedrash in Telzer Yeshiva, I'd come for a visit. The first impression that hit me was the simcha of the Beis HaMedrash. There was a Beis HaMedrash with a few hundred people learning. The first impression that hit me was that everyone seemed to be enjoying themselves so much. This was the Simchas HaTorah. And there was Reb Simcha Wasserman, Zichrei Nevrocha. He was the son of the great Reb Yochanan Wasserman. He visited South Africa a number of times. He told me, he said he loved coming to South Africa because he saw happy Jews. He says, what do I mean happy Jews? He says, Jews that are happy because they are Jews. There was a, let me conclude. As I mentioned, there's a great deal to elaborate, but we have to finish now. Let me conclude. I saw recently an article from, there's a great Rav and Gaon in Eretz Yisrael, Pinchas Scheinberg. Pinchas Scheinberg is an American. He was from the early Americans that went to study in Europe, in the Litvishi Yeshivas, just before the war. He was from the group, a friend of Rav Gifter, and he had a son in Telz during my time, Simcha Scheinberg. So he used to come to visit. So I met him on a number of occasions. He's a very great Gaon. There's a crisis going on in the world, that there is a big, not amongst the non-religious Jews, but amongst the religious Jews, that there's a big fallout. There are many that are leaving the religious fold. But we're speaking here the real religious fold, amongst the Haredim and amongst the Hasidim and so forth and so on. This is a big crisis that's going on in the world. Baruch Hashem, South Africa, we don't have it. And there's a magazine called the Jewish Observer, which is the official magazine of the Gdush Yisrael of America, which is one of the foremost Orthodox publications in America. They devoted a full magazine to this, which they said is the first time in some 30 years that they've ever devoted a full magazine to one topic. This is how serious this topic is. And then they devoted a second issue to it. So in one of the issues, I believe it was the second issue, there was all kind of articles from everyone, and everyone was saying what they wanted to say on it. There was a few words from Rav Scheinberg, and it's different when you hear from a great person. And he said, you want to keep your children. See, parents are losing their children. They're going off astray, all to all ends. He says, you want to leave, keep your children, then you have to instill in the home a simchas hachaim, a joy of living, a joy of being Jewish, a joy of Torah. This is what you have to instill in the home. This is like we said before, because if a person does something because of yira, because of fear, it gets too difficult, he walks away from it. If he does something because of simcha, because he enjoys it, because of ava, because of love, to the contrary, that you don't have to tell him to do. Many times we're too busy to do anything, but we find ourselves, we do those things that we enjoy to do. They pull us. So therefore, these are a few words in regards to this great attribute of simcha, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Tachas Asher Le'avadta Es Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav V'Rev Kol. He wants us to serve him with great simcha. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.